Blog Talk Radio.
Live sports talk, Sportsaholic 24/7 radio. I'm John, joined with Nick and Brandon. What's up, guys?
Hi, John.
All right, so we got some good topics for you guys today. Brandon, why don't you tell everyone what we're going to be talking about today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about RG3's benching, what the Texas Longhorns are going to do without Mac Brown, and our favorite BCS College Bowl matchup that we're looking most forward to.
All right, sounds good. Let's start off with RG3. Obviously, it might be surprising to some people, but I'm really not surprised. Kirk Cousins is going to be starting next week for the Redskins, and RG3 has just been bad this season compared to last. Maybe it's because of that ACL injury and because he hasn't been able to run as much as he did last season because Mike Shanahan doesn't want him to get injured. Nick, what do you think about this?
Well, I think it was absolutely the right decision. RG3 is hurt. He should have been benched a long time ago. And the season, I mean, that past game meant nothing at all. Why risk the injury of the quarterback of your future for a game that's meaningless? And not to mention, RG3 is not the type of quarterback that can play when he is injured. He is hurt. He should be out. He's not like Peyton Manning, who can play with a hurt leg, because RG3 is a running quarterback, and he's not going to be able to get away with that. It's dangerous. It's not a good idea. Bench him. The game's meaningless. What's the difference? The season is done.
Right, yeah, I agree with that. What do you think?
That is very true. And I mean, what's the Redskins' record right now? 3-10? 3-something. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. The Redskins are nothing short of
3-11. 3-11.
RG3 has completely just been destroyed by every single defensive line in the nation. His offensive line is putrid. He's been banged up. He's been getting injured. And personally, I wouldn't even put Kirk Cousins in. I would put in the third string because, first of all, you're not going to win any games with Kirk Cousins at the helm anyways. And why would you want a very valuable backup to get hurt?
I mean,
I disagree with that Cousins point. Kirk Cousins has shown that he can be an okay NFL quarterback,
Cousins,
and you have
Kirk
nothing
Cousins
to lose, really. Give it a chance. Maybe
he
could end up being better than RG3. No, RG3 had a great rookie campaign,
but who knows?
Kirk Cousins
is never going to be as good as RG3. I'm sorry, never.
He's under the same offensive line that RG3 was. And RG3 is
coming outside
of
RG3 just has to stay healthy, and he can be great. That's the bottom line. But right now,
he's hurt. Need an offensive line badly.
Yeah, Trent Williams has not been doing a great job at the left tackle position.
Yeah. No, I think it's with the Redskins, it's obviously, you know, a lot of coaching issues now. Mike Shanahan possibly being fired. I'm hearing some rumors about maybe Texas A&M head coach Kevin Sumlin possibly having some interest in going to Washington. And
really?
Then, obviously, that's what I've been hearing lately. The ownership, the ownership of the Redskins, you know, Dan Snyder, really not very well-liked among Redskins fans. People think that he doesn't really know what he's doing, and we'll have to see what happens to Shanahan this offseason, as well as RG3.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, basically, the Redskins have to basically depend on Alfred Morris.
Yeah.
And the rest of their running game.
They got Evan Royster, too, Penn Stater. Evan Royster.
Yeah.
Backup running back.
Yep.
All right, so let's wrap up this topic. We're going to move on here. Let's talk a little bit about Mac Brown. We haven't really talked about this. Obviously, Texas, one of the elite programs in college football, And Mac Brown, after 16 seasons, will resign following their bowl game this season. And he won a championship with Vince Young at quarterback, 05, 06. They beat USC in a classic. And I don't really know. Yeah, almost won with Colt McCoy, and even with a backup in, who was that? Well, Colt McCoy got injured against Alabama, and the backup came in, and he played pretty well. But who do you guys think are some candidates to replace him? Obviously, Nick Saban now off the table, re-signing with Alabama with that huge contract. Who do you think are some people that could come in
there? And I would have never expected Nick Saban to go. Nick Saban belongs at Alabama. He's created a dynasty at Alabama. It would be a shame for him to leave. Personally, I think the hottest name on the table right now is probably Mike Shanahan, because if he does leave the Washington Redskins, he's very viable to head down to Texas and coach for them.
Well, they did say, this just came out recently, but Texas did say they want a coach that has extensive college experience. So I don't know if, I mean, they might go the NFL route, but I think
right,
they're going to stay in college.
Maybe they'll even bring in Lane Kiffin. Not that that's a good idea, but
yeah. No, I don't. I think they're going to try to. Texas is one of the best jobs in the country, so I think they're going to try to get an elite coach.
Well, another guy they really might look at is you think maybe they'll get Gary Kubiak, but I don't.
No, I don't think so. Because, again, Gary Kubiak, this past season, bad season. And, again, he's in the NFL.
Well,
they're going to look for a guy with a lot of college experience, I think. And I really hope I'm not hearing any rumors, but something that just would make sense to me would be Bill O'Brien, which is unfortunate for me. I'm a huge Penn State fan.
Bill O'Brien.
I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening, but it would make a good – it would be a good choice for Texas to get a guy that's done so much in just a few years at Penn State, to try to get him to down in Austin, Texas. So it'll be interesting to see who they try to get.
It'll be very interesting to see how good the team is without Mac Brown, because he's basically created a dynasty
They had a few down seasons.
Another possible candidate would be Lovie Smith.
They want the college experience.
College.
I don't know.
Does have college
they
experience.
Want the college experience.
Lovie Smith has coached college football, though. He does have.
Yeah,
experience.
But think about it this way: their main target was Nick Saban. They're looking at that level. They're not going to look at Lovie Smith, who's been out of coaching for a year.
They were dreaming. Okay, there's no way Nick Saban was ever going to leave Alabama. I'm sorry, no way.
Yeah. Did you really think
and
so?
I don't know who they're going to get, but it'll be very interesting to see because, like I said, Mac Brown created a dynasty out of Texas football. I don't know how good they're going to do it out of.
I mean, they were obviously Texas being one of the.
Who are they going to get? Who are they going to
get? I'm hearing some things. Maybe Chip Kelly from the Eagles. He coached at Oregon. But he is denying those reports, though.
It's his first year. Chip Kelly leave the Eagles? It's been his first year. That makes no sense.
He's been a great coach. I mean, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC East right now. Not that that's an accomplishment of some sort, but I mean.
But, again, they're looking for that college experience, and Chip Kelly's a guy with that extensive college experience. And some other candidates, David Shaw from Stanford, but I don't see him leaving. He has a great thing going right there out in California. And I think one last candidate, Art Briles from Baylor. That's a possibility.
There's any chance they'll take the NFL route?
I really don't think so, because I was reading some things. I think it was their athletic director. He said that they really want to get a coach with college experience because the college game and the NFL game are very different. And Texas is a program. They don't want to have a drop-off. So they want to get a good coach in there quickly.
I mean, they'll do what they can do. I don't know. This is a subject I'm pretty clueless on.
Hopefully Texas makes the right decision and doesn't hire Lane Kiffin.
I think, obviously.
Which college matchup are you guys looking forward to?
I think, obviously, the national championship looks really good. But I want to see Ohio State-Clemson. That is going to be an interesting game because Ohio State coming off that disappointing loss in the Big Ten championship game.
Wow,
I want to see how they can bounce back.
Ohio State loss?
Ohio State loss to Michigan State.
No, I know. I'm saying, isn't that such a weird thing to say?
Yeah, it is. 2 years hasn't happened.
Like Alabama. They lost.
Yeah. But, again, I think that game is going to be good. And obviously a national championship game.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how well Braxton Miller can bounce back from a tough loss like that, which they definitely should have won.
Which
he's
never done before.
Yeah, he hasn't lost before. Well, before this game. And Clemson, obviously, they're a good team. They have Tyler Boyd at quarterback and Sammy Watkins, one of the best receivers in the country. Pretty good defense as well. So we'll have to see in that game.
We'll see.
Let's talk national championship, too. You know, Auburn, incredible
Auburn's
season, really. They were – Auburn came in unranked this season, preseason. Obviously, the preseason polls don't really mean much, but – That's impressive to start off unranked and then go all the way to the championship. Who do you guys have won in that game?
Auburn and Florida State?
Yeah.
Florida State. They've been absolutely
Brandon, how about you?
Tremendous.
Personally, I have Auburn winning that game. I think that Trey Mason is going to carry the load on in terms of offense, and I think that the Auburn – team right now is just too hot to handle right now, and I think not even
way.
Jameis Winston can slow him down.
I think it's going to be a very high scoring close game, but I think Florida State's going to come up on top.
Yeah, it should be interesting though.
Because two very good teams. Like I said, Jameis Winston and his receivers are all a bunch of deadly combos. Jameis Winston has the ability. He has a great arm, and he has a strong arm, an accurate arm, and he can run. Which are three great combos that a quarterback can have. Although,
speaking of a guy who can run, throw, and stay in the pocket very well, let's talk about the Chick-fil-A Bowl. How is Johnny Manziel going to perform in his likely final game at Texas A&M?
That's going to be a tough one. I don't think he's obviously not going to be looking forward. He's not going to be looking ahead to the NFL in this game. He's not going to overlook this. Because it is important for his draft stock and stuff like that. I think he's going to do really well. I think he's going to come out and impress. They played Duke, and Duke lost in the ACC championship. They got blown out against Florida State. But Duke's an interesting team, 10-3, best season in program history. So good for them. But I think it's going to be the Johnny Manziel show.
Oh, absolutely.
I think him and Kevin Sumlin are going to draw up a game plan that's just going to be one of the most unbelievable games you've ever seen from the kid. Yeah. I think he's going to have a monster game. He's going to throw for three touchdowns, rush for two more, some ridiculous stat line like that. It'll be crazy to watch. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah,
I think he's going to put on a show that last game. I see Texas A&M absolutely dominating Duke that last game. Johnny Manziel is going to be pumped. And, you know, then he's off to the NFL. But going back to the Auburn Florida State game, they play very differently. Florida State's more passing, throw the ball down the field as soon as possible, whatever. Basically, Auburn, I'm going to be honest, it's Trey Mason's running game that's carrying the team. I think Trey Mason is the most underrated running back. I think he's the best running back in college football. The great thing, when I watched that game, Auburn versus Ohio State, Auburn versus Ohio State.
No, when? Alabama, you mean?
Alabama.
Won on a last-second touchdown,
Auburn,
or was it
Alabama.
The game that they returned the field goal for a touchdown?
I mean, Trey Mason basically carried that team. They would run 100 yards down the field, all from a bunch of handoffs to Trey Mason.
Yeah.
And a few sneaks from Nick Marshall.
Yeah.
They have the strongest running game in college football. Their passing game is really nothing special. But they have to rely on their running game a lot more. Now, I don't know how well Florida State, now it's up to Florida State if they can defend that running game well.
I don't think they can.
Yeah, I think that the key to that game is going to be if Auburn can control the clock with that running game, if they can have possession of the ball, if they can win the possession battle, I think that they have a pretty good chance to win the ball because to win the game. Because if you keep the ball out of Jameis Winston's hands, he can't. I mean, they can't score. And when you run the ball, that limits your turnovers too. Because obviously, Trey Mason really doesn't fumble that much, and Nick Marshall,
no.
he's a great runner as well, doesn't
Nick
fumble.
Marshall is,
and then they can
Nick
mix
Marshall
in that throw. So if they can control the clock, they can win this game.
Right. That's true.
For me, the key to this game is the Auburn defensive line and the rest of their front seven. I want to see how they can go up against the offensive line of Florida State and see if they can try and contain Jameis Winston throwing the ball and Freeman rushing the ball. I really want to see that because if they can stop Jameis Winston, if they can dial up the pressure on him, I think this game is going to swing in a completely different direction.
Honestly, the most important thing is to put pressure on Jameis Winston. That's basically the key to the game. The defensive line has to step up, and Auburn's defensive line basically has to step up. And like I said, I think the running game is going to be very successful, and like I said, I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
All right, just a reminder, we have 13 and a half minutes to go left in the show, and as always, we appreciate when you guys call in. We had some callers yesterday, and we'd like some more today, and that number to call in is 347-884-8496. Any questions for us, you want to talk sports, whatever, we're here to answer your questions. So, again, that number 347-884-8496. We have 13 minutes left in the show. Let's talk a little NBA. We got a big Nets game tonight.
How about
Blazers, yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this. They're the best team in the league right now.
Honestly, they are.
Yeah, they are.
However, I don't see the Blazers keeping this up. I see them dropping down eventually. I don't think LaMarcus Aldridge is going to keep it up. I don't think Damian Lillard is going to keep it up.
Well, it'll be interesting to see that.
They're both young and very inexperienced, and they can be.
They are very young, yeah.
They're a very young team, and I just don't see the experience. If they were more experienced, I would say they're going to make. I would say they have a chance to make the NBA Finals, but they're not experienced enough.
No matter who makes the NBA Finals this year, no one is going to stop the Heat. Absolutely nobody.
No, of course not. That's why they. Yeah, of course not.
I think the X factor in all this is going to be Nick Batum. He's a big, small forward, power forward. He could play both positions. And if they do make it that far, if they do make it to the finals, which is a big if because the West is so good and so competitive that they're doing really well right now, but who knows what could happen later in the season. If they do make it to the finals, it's going to be up to Nick Batum to try to shut down LeBron and try to get some points on offense. We have a call. Hello, who is this?
This is Brian.
Hey, Brian Cord.
Brian Cord.
Okay, Brian, what's your question?
So do you think the Jets are going to make the playoffs?
Hell no. I don't think the Jets have any shot to make the playoffs in the next 5 years, probably. But basically the deal with the Jets is they just have to prepare for next season. These next games don't even matter. It's probably even in their best interest to lose every game, so they make more changes. Like I said, I want to see them get Trey Mason. I want to see them get Amari Cooper. Unfortunately, that's pretty unrealistic, and supposedly Johnny Manziel would like to go to the Jets as well. But I'm telling you, they basically have to rebuild. But like I said, I think they need a better running game for next year while Geno Smith is still developing. Because at this point, they are relying a little bit too much on their passing game, which is dangerous with Geno Smith. And none of their receivers are really all
that. It's not dangerous with Geno Smith. It's just the fact that their wide receivers are literally nobody, which is why I say go and draft Marquise Lee. Go and draft Allen Robinson. Go and draft this kid out of A&M, Mike Evans. Go and draft a wide receiver with your pick. That's
right. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see them get Amari Cooper.
They
got from Alabama.
The biggest problem
so good.
With the Jets is their wide receiving core. They have nobody. D'Antonio Holmes pretty much just punched his ticket out. Stephen Hill.
All right,
who the hell is what the hell is his name? Baden
Greg Salas. They got Salas. They need a wide receiver to help out Geno.
Yeah,
it's
I don't know what
the
on earth the front office
is Curley. Because I like Curley. He's a good slot receiver.
I like Jeremy Curley a lot. He can be very good. I like Jeremy Curley a lot. Now, you don't know what I would give for the Jets to get Josh Gordon, but unfortunately that's not going to happen.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The Jets got Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, that would be the best moment of my life. But I would really love to – I mean, there's some great wide receivers coming out of college. Like you said, Mike Evans,
Marquise Lee,
Allen Robinson. If these guys go to the Jets, that could really transform the team so they have better wide receivers. Unfortunately, Geno Smith doesn't really have anybody to throw to, and the running game really isn't all that strong. So just I think they can just stack up a little bit on the running game, stack up a little bit on the receivers, and the Jets can be a playoff contender next. They can be playoff contenders next year. Because Geno Smith is still a rookie, and he can't succeed with just any receiver. He's going to need a good elite receiver.
Okay. But listen, here's what the Jets need to do.
And first and foremost, ship Stephen Hill's ass off to Timbuktu. Because we don't need this guy on the team anymore. The guy cannot run a route right. He cannot catch a ball. I don't know what he's even doing in the NFL. Get rid of him.
Well, listen, there are three things the Jets need to do in a draft. Number one, draft a wide receiver, and that needs to be immediately. With your first pick, if a guy like, you know, Johnny Manziel is not on the board, you draft a wide receiver.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay? That's fairly obvious.
They don't need
– they need to get a safety.
What's wrong with their safeties?
Antonio Allen has been good. Is horrible. Antonio Allen is inexperienced. We need a safety and a good one.
Okay, I'm just saying, though, and first of all,
I think, well, getting Ed Reed, how long is Ed Reed's contract for?
I don't know. Hopefully,
I mean,
don't go off
on Ed Reed. I mean, he's not the future for the Jets. He's going to retire in a couple of years anyway.
No, I agree with that. But I think that by having him there, that can, you know, give some younger players some time to develop and learn
from the best safety
in NFL history.
The Jets' offense is what the main problem is, not their defense.
Yeah.
Their defensive line is good. Their linebackers are good.
Their defense,
their corners are not terrible.
D. Milliner
is still very inexperienced. Milliner has been improving. He, in the beginning, though, let's face it, the guy sucked. In the beginning, he was terrible. Cromartie has to get well. I am sick and tired of seeing Cromartie play 10 yards back on the field.
He needs to take his 12 kids with 7 women and get the hell out of New York. He is the first guy that
comes to talk to you. Come on, man. Just keep it in your pants. Please, just do it. Just do it.
Well, that's Nick's message for Antonio Cromartie. Keep it in the pants. Keep it in the pants. You heard it here first.
Let's move on from this.
But you got it. Well, Brandon, do you think that the Jets should need to draft a running back?
No.
Let's put it this way. If Trey Mason is available, do you think they should draft Trey Mason?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out.
Absolutely. I think if I were any NFL team, I'd take Trey Mason.
All right. So can we go back to the NBA for a sec?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Who do you think is going to get Kyle Lowry if he does go anywhere?
Not the Knicks. I don't think
the Knicks or the Nets, because I think the Nets are not going to be willing to give up Bojan Bogdanovic or a first-round pick. I mean, they don't really have any picks left. And
they
I think
no
Sean Livingston is in. Yeah, no, Sean Livingston, he's been good, too.
Sean Livingston is not that good.
He's been good.
There's really nothing special about Kyle Lowry.
Exactly. He's not worth trading. We have another call.
Noah from Roslyn.
Who is this?
Can you hear me? This is Noah from Roslyn. What's going on?
Hey, Noah, how are you?
I'm good.
What's your question?
Just wanted to say you guys are doing great so far.
Thank you.
Good shout out to Nicholas Batum. I like that. And I heard you guys really think there's no chance that the Heat are going down this season?
Absolutely.
I think
no.
there's a chance to go down.
LeBron,
I think the Pacers
LeBron
could beat them.
Now, let's just put it this way. If LeBron gets his head straight, the guy could be just – he could dominate the NBA, and I'll tell you why. And I've said – I'm sure John and Brandon have heard me say this 9 million times. The reason why LeBron – the main reason why LeBron is so great is because he is 6'8" and can move like a move like a point guard or a shooting guard. And when you can do that in the NBA, if he gets his head straight, he can dominate the league. And he is just – if you watch the games, as many games when he doesn't even show up, and Miami Heat just dominates the opponent.
I totally agree. But
yeah.
Last year, they were one Ray Allen, lucky three, you know,
that's
away
true.
From losing.
But they
I 100% agree with you. The Heat are not invincible. They're beatable.
They're not.
I think that the Pacers have a good chance of beating them.
One thing you guys keep forgetting, who knows, maybe even the Pacers could beat them. Look at last year.
Yeah.
When Frank Vogel took out Roy Hibbert. Frank Vogel didn't take out Roy Hibbert with that stupid decision, the stupidest decision in sports history. The Pacers made it to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well have just said, hey, LeBron, here's a nice little pass to the basket. There you go, buddy. Taking out Roy Hibbert, that was just ridiculous.
Awful defense on that play.
And Paul George can be great. George Hill, Lance. I mean, even Lance Stephenson. The Pacers play like a team. Miami Heat has a lot of talent. Miami Heat may have more talent, but at some point, I mean, you have to play more like a team.
Absolutely,
right.
I completely agree with that.
I completely agree with you. Except there's only one problem: the Heat have LeBron James. And no one else does. And that's the biggest factor is LeBron James going to play and how is LeBron James going to go up against guys like Roy Hibbert?
Well, how about Dwayne Wade? I see where you're coming from. Because let's face it, there's really nothing that great about Mario Chalmers. Chris Bosh is getting old.
Well, Mario Chalmers, he does what he needs to do. And
yeah, exactly.
Chris Bosh does what he needs to do.
He's nothing, no extra credit involved. I mean, I'm not bad mouthing him. I'm just saying. I mean, I like Mario Chalmers. He's just nothing, you know.
He's what they need.
I mean,
he's a point guard. He's a guy that can score some, but he's good distributor.
Personally, I think Norris Cole's a lot better than Mario Chalmers, but I like him coming off the bench and leading second unit. I think that's the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like Miami Heat, they're not invincible. I think that the Pacers or even the Spurs have a good shot.
Okay.
Miami. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Noah, for your call.
The Western Conference has a lot of
strength.
Thanks
a lot, Noah.
Thank you, Noah.
Thanks, Noah.
All right. So thanks to Noah for that call.
So we
can continue with the NBA. Yeah.
Back to Kyle Lowry. If I'm the Brooklyn Nets, the only package I would ever put together for Kyle Lowry is a trade that involves Mirza Tolanovic and Tyshawn Taylor. And
why trade away Mirza? He's just starting to get in his rhythm.
Mirza
I can see Tyshawn Taylor. But Mirza is starting to peak. He is on the upswing. You don't trade him away. He's starting tonight.
I'm not saying I would because I would never trade anyone anywhere right now because if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I would never do that. But if I were to trade for someone like Kyle Lowry, that is the package I would have to put together without risking Plumlee and without risking a pick. Because, yes, Mirza is on the upside, but would you rather give up Plumlee?
No, I'd rather give up Tyshawn Taylor. But I'd honestly rather give up no one. I don't want Kyle Lowry. If I'm the Nets, I don't want Kyle Lowry. Nothing
not
against him.
But if I'm... But
I'm
if
just
I'm
saying it's not worth it. No point for it.
Right.
I think the team that needs him most is the Toronto Raptors. They can't just keep trading away everybody and hope that they get wins. Because they're not
what does Kyle Lowry have that the Nets need?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing. I mean, honestly, the Nets have a lot of talent the way they are. I mean, it's the coaching, the lack of coaching that's the problem. They could be a great team.
Yeah.
We'll find out what the Nets really have.
Sean Livingston can be very successful. Yeah, I mean, even Mirza, I can't believe I'm saying this, but even Mirza has improved tremendously.
Yeah. All right, we have 20 seconds left in the broadcast. We have to start wrapping it up. Right, thank you to the people who called in today. Thanks to Nick and Brandon for hosting with me. And we'll be back most likely tomorrow night around the same time with a new episode of Sportaholics 24/7. Thanks for listening. John signing off.
All right. See you guys.
See ya.